From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs with the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Today, I am absolutely delighted to have as my guests the newest commissioners from the Postal Regulatory Commission, Ann Fisher and Ashley Poling, who I refer to as the A-team of the PRC. Both Ashley and Ann have a stellar career working at the United States Senate. Ann worked for former Senators Larry Pressler, late Senator Thad Cochran, and current Senator Susan Collins. Ashley worked for Senators John Tester, former Senator Heidi Heitkamp, and current Senator Gary Peters of Michigan. Ann, additionally to her Senate career, has had 12 years at the PRC and a short stint at the United States Postal Service doing congressional liaison work. They are both concerned about rural issues. Both were introduced at the recent confirmation hearing by senators who they've had who they have either worked for or related relationship with in terms of their work on the committees. Ann Fisher was introduced. Now, Ann is a Republican. She worked for Republican senators. She was introduced by Senator Tom Carper, a Democrat from Delaware, who was a former chairman of the committee, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Ashley was introduced by Congressman Mark Meadows, the former chairman of the Postal Subcommittee on the House side, and the immediate past chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, a very conservative member. So I want to start out with this question now that I did this long introduction, because I think you both are deserving such long introductions. How does it feel coming from opposite parties to be introduced by partisans of the other party at your confirmation hearings? Let me start with you, Ann.
I wouldn't say that it felt any differently than it would have to have had anyone else introduce me. I've known Senator Carper for a long time, for as long as I worked on postal issues in the Senate. I was delighted to have him introduce me. Senator Collins was not able to be there, but she wrote a letter on my behalf, so it was just as good for me to have Senator Carper there. It was very meaningful to have his introduction. I was honored that he was able to do it.
Ashley?
Yes, so it was. I thought it was a really nice bipartisan moment, I think, for the hearing. It is, I think, unique to have that, but I think this issue, being postal, I feel like is something that really touches everyone across the country, no matter what party you're in. So I think it was also really, you know, I think symbolic of sort of how important this issue is for everyone. And I was really honored to have Congressman Meadows introduce me. We did a lot of work with him when I was working for Senator Heidi Heitkamp, had a lot in common on rural issues and service issues. You know, North Carolina and North Dakota are different places, but a lot of those rural communities have similar things in common. So, you know, I've known him for a very long time and just am so honored that he was able to introduce me. Similarly, Senator Heitkamp was kind enough to write a letter. And of course, my most recent boss, Ranking Member Peters, was also kind enough to give some great remarks. But
now, both senators, when they introduce you, refer to you as experts in the postal field, and that's a rather boutique area of legislation. Over the past number of years, the PRC has recruited heavily from the U.S. Senate in terms of chairman of the PRC as former Chairman Dan Blair, former chairman of the old Postal Rate Commission, Ed Glyman, yourselves are both worked for the Senate. What is it in the Senate that sort of prepares you for this type of position?
I don't necessarily know that it's a Senate qualification. I know that I believe Glyman also worked in the House of Representatives.
So did Dan Blair.
So did Robert Taub. I think what's most important is that, as you called it, boutique, I always say an extreme niche area. And there are not very many of us that develop legislative experience to any great extent in this area. I don't know what it owes itself to, the fact that several of us have come out of the House or the Senate. Nominations obviously spring from the White House, and perhaps they have seen an understanding of ours with respect to legislation that they thought would be, or politics in general, that they thought would be helpful here at the commission.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think committee work does really prepare you for, or at least gives you the experience on postal issues. And I have said that I always felt quite fortunate that I got to work on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee throughout my entire Senate career, because I do think when you're on committee, you have an ability, I think, to really develop an expertise in certain issue areas. And as Anne said, you know, I think that postal really is sort of one of these niche areas. And when you're on committee, you really have the ability, I think, to specialize in that in a way that you just might not have the opportunity to do from a personal office. So I just felt really grateful that was sort of the perspective, you know, that I got to work from throughout my time in the Senate. But I think, you know, I think just having legislative experience is a wonderful, you know, skill to have. And I think when you are kind of really in the weeds of developing that legislation, having those meetings with stakeholders, having those meetings with, you know, members and their staffs, you really, I think, get to know, it really helps you get to know the issue even better. And you really get to hear what matters to members across the postal community.
Great. Now, question about the PRC. There are a lot of regulatory agencies in the government. We have the Federal Communications Commission, the Interstate Commerce Commission, you have the Federal Energy and Regulatory Commission, and then you have the Postal Regulatory Commission. Regulators are created to protect the public and protect industry generally from monopolistic pricing, service issues, because for whatever reason, the market is not able to handle that in and of itself. How does the PRC view, and you coming new to the PRC, view its role in protecting postal consumers, protecting the market, and sort of what's unique about the postal market that necessitates a regulator such as the Postal Regulatory Commission?
Congress created us through the 1970 Act to ensure that the Postal Service was legally setting rates. We retain that role, and especially for the fact that they have a monopoly, it's important that that be retained. I know that we differ from other sectors and that we only oversee the Postal Service, but Congress has not determined that we should do anything other than to oversee the Postal Service. So we have an important role in overseeing the pricing of products within the market dominant and ensuring that the pricing of products, as far as the competitive goes, are in adherence with the law. And that's an important role.
Now, during the testimony, Ashley, you spoke a lot about the Postal Regulatory Commission's function in overseeing accessibility and service performance. How do you see the PRC sort of taking an active role in ensuring that the performance of the Postal Service is up to the standards that I think the American public deserve and expect?
So, yes, I think, you know, one of the things obviously that the Postal Regulatory Commission does is really does monitor the Postal Service's compliance, you know, and ability to meet service performance targets. And that's something that I obviously worked on a lot when I was in the Senate. That's something obviously that one of my former bosses, Senator Heitkamp, was very passionate about. And I think working on that in the legislative context just made me realize how important that issue is. So I really do think that is a really special role that the PRC also has in terms of kind of overseeing, in terms of just making sure that there is compliance sort of with service. And I think I'm really excited to, you know, obviously it is a different, as you kind of mentioned before, this is a very different role, right? So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what ways, obviously, you know, this is an issue that comes up in the annual reports that the PRC does. But I am interested in seeing sort of, you know, what are all the ways sort of that the PRC can really make sure that there is the accountability and transparency that is needed in this area.
This accountability and transparency dominated a lot of conversation at the confirmation hearings for both of you. And the accuracy of the data that the Postal Service provides to the legislative body has historically been called into question. Does the PRC have a role in ensuring the accuracy of the data that's provided to the legislative body?
I don't know that we have a direct role as far as assuring Congress that the data they receive from the Postal Service is accurate. That's up to the Postal Service to ensure that their information they provide is accurate. What is often the case is Congress may come to us for a second opinion on the data. And that's not a surprise. That's to be expected. That can happen government-wide. But when it comes to the commission, and it's an active docket, and we've requested data or its consideration of the annual compliance reports for formulation of the annual compliance determination, then we do expect accurate and complete data, and we have a process through which we go to make sure that we obtain the data that we need or to have the Postal Service submit their best effort at the most complete sets of data and accurate data.
The providing of accurate data plays a large role in the development of postal legislation, as Congress has for the last 5 or 6 years, as they've considered comprehensive postal legislation. Does the PRC have a role, and what role would it have, in the development of postal legislation?
I don't believe we have a role in the development of legislation. We are there to provide analytical contributions to legislation that's being considered. In general, the way it will occur is that Congress will take something perhaps that an interest group or the Postal Service has drafted as legislation and ask us for our technical advice on that. But we don't lobby. We're not allowed to lobby. And our guidance is that of a technical nature.
Yeah, I would just add, you know, I do think it is wonderful, and I think this can tie in different ways, but obviously one of the kind of strategic goals of the PRC is for there to be more engagement, I think, with Congress, which I think is fantastic, because I think that, you know, obviously I think having a postal community that is in contact with each other and is, you know, I think collaborating to the extent that they can is always a good thing. But, you know, obviously I agree with Commissioner Fisher that, you know, it's not our role to develop that legislation. It's more to, I think, you know, should someone reach out to us to weigh in on something technically, that's sort of where I think the Postal Regulatory Commission would play a role.
One of the areas that the PRC's advice might be sought, and in fact, Anne, at your hearing, at the here confirmation hearing, you volunteered this, was to sort of update a survey that was done in 2008 relating to the universal service obligation. What do Americans want or need? How would the PRC, if the PRC wouldn't entertain that sort of exploration again, what role would that be in development? Because that is part of a development of a new comprehensive approach to what the Postal Service is, because there's no definition of a universal service obligation in statute. It's sort of operationally defined.
This is an area that is overdue for a full discussion and a thorough examination of all issues USO. I was personally delighted to see that the Trump task came into this and started to lay out a few different ideas. That's not saying I would agree 100% or completely disagree with any of them, but I really appreciated the fact that they tackled some of these issues. Congress, when I worked in the Senate, felt strongly at the time of the 2006 Act that any modifications to the USO be retained by Congress, but they asked and made it a part of the 2006 Act that the commission do a large report on the USO and the two monopolies and issue their recommendations to Congress. That was a fascinating undertaking. Unfortunately, nothing was done with it once the report was sent to Congress, and I certainly understand that at the time, I don't think large-scale changes were really needed at the Postal Service. It was 2008, so maybe it sort of got lost in the shuffle. But right now, 2019, it is ripe for a discussion of those issues, and my hope is that, time willing, the commission will be able to possibly update its report that it did in 2008, or if not update that report, then have some other involvement. I would really like to, again, work with the Postal Service and Congress to, again, advance some ideas for consideration as they relate to the USO. And I did really mean it when I mentioned the idea about, I don't know what the best way is to get at this, but I suggested sort of off the top of my head, a survey, a nationwide survey, as far as what people want. I think that if you do ask the everyday person what they need from the Postal Service, what they must have from the Postal Service, the answers will be quite different than what you might have heard in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Let me take that. It is quite possible, Ashley, that if we would conduct the survey today, there would be different needs from different areas of the country. Folks living in mid-Manhattan in New York City have different needs than someone who lives in Yankton, South Dakota.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. Let me just mention, sure. I asked my dad about that. He's an 85-year-old in Yankton, South Dakota.
Okay.
And I mentioned to him, he had watched my hearing on their computer, and he discussed the ideas with me that I had brought up, and he said he didn't see that five-day mail delivery was a bad idea. He thought that seemed fine, and he also had no issue with the idea of opening up the mailbox so long as it was to other responsible parties. That's an 85-year-old man in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that there are a lot of other people who today might think differently than they did at certain times in their life.
You know, I do think it is really important to get a sense of, you know, what does matter to different people in different areas of the country. And I don't know that you can always generalize either and say one area needs something and the other doesn't. But what I would just say, I guess, from my personal experience and spending a lot of time, especially in the state of North Dakota, obviously worked for the state of Montana as well when I was with Senator Tester, you know, there is a real reliance, I think, on the mail in these areas because it is something that is accessible and affordable, right, I think, to everyone. A lot of small businesses are obviously really relying on this service and you know, might not be able to go, I think, the farther distances sometimes to get to another service. So I think it's something that you have to really think about because I think the mail, you know, in some of these places, these post offices really are very central, I think, to the communities. But I also think that, you know, a lot has changed also in the last 10 years or so. And I think that it is never a bad thing to get a current sense of really what people are using it for and what they need. I think that's really important to stay in touch with that.
One of the issues, Ashley, that you brought up at the hearing in response to a question by Chairman Johnson was he asked, why is it taking so long to enact postal reform? And you said because of a lack of consensus among stakeholders, in a sense that nobody, you know, as we get closer and closer, the fissions become larger and larger. Mm-hmm. And one of the most third rail issues is this universal service obligation issue, 6-day mail delivery. The House of Representatives has resolution that has well more than the majority say, maintaining 6-day delivery. Door delivery continues. You have that political sort of pressure on one side, and then you, as you sort of explore the universal service obligation, as Anne says, maybe there isn't as among customers potentially, you know, if you ask, there may not be as a definitive answer as we think there is. How do you, if you're trying to maintain consensus in a postal legislation that affects every person in this country, how do you achieve consensus where there are such diametrically opposed views on issues as third rail as, and I'm just going to say, six-day delivery? Where is that sweet spot?
I would just say, you know, I think there's something about, you know, the comment that you mentioned that I made at the hearing regarding, you know, obviously it is tough to find that consensus among stakeholders. I think there's the other side of that is you have people who are so passionate about all of their interests in this area, which, you know, I do really respect and understand. But I think that, you know, oftentimes with postal legislation, because it does take a lot of iterations, and I know Commissioner Fisher will be able to speak to this, I'm sure, from her, you know, very long work on the 2006 legislation. But, you know, it's, you don't always make everyone happy, you know, and I think I'm not sure that anyone out there would say they expect to be happy either with legislation. I think you just try to find the best compromises you can, and you try to work through issues that come up because, you know, oftentimes with legislation, you might think you're introducing on a certain day and you know, a last minute thing might come up and, you know, you've got to engage on it, got to get your, you know, at the time, my former senator bosses to engage on it. But I think, you know, you just have to really stick with it. And I think, you know, realize that, you know, this is a service, obviously, for the American customer, and Congress is really the one representing them, right? So I think that I think was something that always helped me to think about as we kind of push through these marathons at times to get bills introduced.
Let me ask you a question that is solely within the jurisdiction of the PRC right now, and that is, almost 2 years ago, the Postal Regulatory Commission issued findings relating to a new rate regime, a new rate process. It's a 10-year review. I think, and the hearing said maybe that review should have been done much sooner. It should have maybe been 5 years out, particularly because of the recession and the mail diversion and the impact and the issue of the pre-funding. But now we're beyond the 10-year mark right now. The reason provided that the PRC was not ready to implement was the PRC didn't have a full complement, did not have all five commissioners. Now we have five commissioners. Is there a timeline for implementation of a new rate regime? Or I'm not asking for a hard and fast time. I'm just trying to sense, is it sooner or later? When could we expect? Because the Postal Service is waiting. I think the mailing community is waiting. And there's revenue needs of the Postal Service.
Absolutely. And I know that I made clear at my confirmation hearing that I thought this needed to move forward as expeditiously as possible. There is a tremendous amount of work that goes on by the staff at the commission to pull all of this together. We were stalled with four commissioners. We were not able to move forward. With the addition of a fifth commissioner, Commissioner Kubianda, we now were able to move forward. Now we have, again, two more new commissioners. I can't tell you exactly when the public will see something, but I can say that we are moving forward, and I'm hopeful. I think that the staff's intention is to get this back in the hands of the commissioners for review again as soon as possible.
Okay, that's great. Last question. Within the next couple of weeks, the United States will decide whether or not to withdraw from the UPU, the Universal Postal Union rate process, where by treaty agreement rates are set and so forth. The Postal Service will then, according to the president, be able to create its own rates, to create rates that it may establish with regard to different countries, bilateral rate agreements. Does the PRC, what role would the PRC have as the Postal Service imposes rates on its other foreign posts for inbound mail and for outbound mail?
To the extent that we're reviewing those rate agreements, that would be our role.
When you review them, in terms of compliance with the law, and if they do comply with the law, they are effective, and if you find that they're not in compliance, what happens?
I believe we send it back to the commission, but I don't want to say, not to the Postal Service, I believe, okay. For modifications. But I don't want to say I'm telling you that with 100% certainty. And going forward, this is all a hypothetical.
Right.
So not knowing what it would look at like, I'm just guessing at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I do want to thank both of you for joining us today. Congratulations for being sworn in a couple of weeks ago as commissioners. We look forward, the members of the National Association of Postal Supervisors look forward to continue working with you in your new capacity, and we wish you only the best. With that, and until next week's podcast.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.